The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for June 24th, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, ADM is making a bid for 100% ownership of Australia's Grain Corp. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason looks at preventive planting decisions, and the folks from Chesapeake Energy will be by with the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Here's how futures settled on this Monday afternoon in Kansas City. July wheat, 715 and a quarter, down 21 and a quarter. December, 737, down 13 and a half. July wheat in Chicago, 679, down 19. December, 702, down 15. July corn, 653 and a quarter, down 8 and a half. September, 579, down 13. December at 546 and a half was down 9 and 3 quarters. July soybeans, 1512, up 18 and 3 quarters. August, 1421 and a quarter, up 7 and a half. November, 1273 and a half, unchanged on the day. July soybean meal, 451, up 330. August, 422.60, up $3. July soybean oil, 47.55, down 47. August, 47.54, down 43. June live cattle, 121.12 and a half, down 12 and a half. August, 121.42 and a half, down 17 and a half. August feeders, 147.60, up 67 and a half. September, 149.92 and a half, up 77 and a half. July lean hogs, $100, 72 and a half, up 97 and a half. And those are your settlements this Monday afternoon in Kansas City and Chicago.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at meteorologist Drew Linner's weather highlights, he says that soybean production areas during the next 2 weeks should maintain favorable crop conditions. The exception may be in the southwest, where parts of Kansas, Missouri, the Delta, Nebraska, and southwestern Iowa may see the most limited amounts of rain. There is no ridge of high pressure slated for the heart of the Midwest through the next 10 days and perhaps 2 weeks. Cooler weather is projected for the U.S. Midwest this weekend through much of next week. Highs will cool off to the 70s and 80s, down from the 80s and lower to a few middle 90s this week. The U.S. hard red winter wheat harvest should advance favorably in light of a mostly dry and warm weather bias during much of the next 10 days. And the U.S. Delta, along with portions of the southern U.S. plains and southwestern Corn Belt, may experience net drying for a while, and that may eventually lead to crop moisture stresses.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Your you're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Let's begin in the wheat pit, which had the most significant losses of the day, both for Kansas City and Chicago, double-digit losses and many contracts. Is this harvest pressure, something else going on? What fundamental news?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. The guys we visit with are looking at some excellent wheat yields here in the east. So I think that's limiting the buying interest. Not a whole lot of pickup in domestic demand right at the moment. And also, too, on the world scale, we're seeing better growing conditions worldwide in Europe and Russia and some of these other countries. So there wasn't just not a whole lot of buying enthusiasm in the wheat pit. I think we saw buying corn, selling wheat, buying beans, selling wheat on the spread also. So I think, until we see Egypt or some of these other countries step up and get a little coverage on, or see some of these end users get a little coverage, take advantage of some weaker basis here during harvest, wheat needs to make sure it holds this previous lows that we've established here over the last 2-3 months, then maybe we could get something going to the upside on ideas that harvest will quickly wrap up and put the wheat crop away and see the market recover on buying as we move into late summer, early fall.
You mentioned the spreading of the wheat. Was there also spreading going on between soybeans and corn, buying soybeans, selling corn?
Well, I think there's a little bit of that, but the supply-demand balance sheet or the fundamental picture is a little bit more bullish than the corn or other commodities right at the moment here. When you look at the raw numbers on what they're looking at from the June report here, if you take 2 bushels off production on beans, all of a sudden we're back down to no more than we had last year. The demand side of the equation, they've really not increased demand a whole lot above the previous years. Beans are starting to shape up here where we continue to see wet weather and have trouble getting the last 5% of the crop in. It could start to be maybe the bull of the commodity complex. The northern belt's having an awful hard time. You talk to guys in Iowa, northern Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, where they don't have a whole lot of time. The clock's about out for them. Also, too, the flooding. We're going to lose some acres there. Here in the east, stays wet, we could lose some double crop acres potential there. So beans are one that, they're going to watch this forecast and see how things unfold here as we move down the road. Now, corn, a little different story there. When you look at corn demand going in next year, they've increased demand by 1.7 billion bushels.
That's a lot of demand increase.
And I don't see it. Feed demand's expected to go up 800 million bushels.
And how does that happen with a decreased cattle herd?
Well, that's 20% above a year ago. And anybody that's been around livestock or visiting livestock, guys, we're not seeing expansion at all. And so it just confirms feed usage is a miscellaneous category. So they've got 800 million bushels to play with there. Then on exports, we're going to have an awful hard time meeting 700 million bushel export on corn, and it's supposed to double almost. So there's an extra 600 million bushels. There's a lot of fudge factor built into the new crop supply-demand balance sheet. So, even though we can take away acres, we can take away yield, they've got a lot of cushion to work with to keep that carry out at a substantial, manageable level, that is. So not a whole lot of urgency in the corn versus the beans. And beans particularly, too, if you're a chartist, it's been like these other grains, been pushing sideways. But on the chart there, it's been hitting the cycle lows like clockwork.
And holding.
And holding. And two, we're starting to maybe potentially build a head and shoulders bottom. And if we don't get the acres in and get a little weather in August, this bean market could be like a rocket and may run to this $15 level later on the growing season if all the fundamentals fall in place for the bull to catch on here, Dave.
So I guess what you're saying in the corn market is with the acreage and all the fudge factor that USDA has built in currently to their potential ending stocks, it could take some of the zip out of the quarterly grain stock report if USDA were to come in with a number that was significantly smaller on carry-in than traders thought wouldn't be possible.
Well, we're talking, yeah, two different crops. The old crop remains tight. There's very little around. You know, basis pretty well signals that. And it's going to be hand-to-mouth. Actions in the cash market. You got cash grain. There's no sense watching the board. You need to be calling around and find out who needs some corn, particularly. That's your best bet. The big question will be after the stocks report is out, will the September contracts start to gain a little momentum here or premium due to the tight situation or not? But they're going to keep ending stocks at what they feel is pipeline supply, and of course they'll continue to dwindle away or play with feed demand.
But they could carry forward 500 million bushels instead of 8 in old stock crop. And yeah, July will go through the roof, but it doesn't matter because there's very little out there to be actually physically dealing with. And then that in turn is cushioned by all the corn they believe in the new crop.
Well, July won't go through the roof because, well, it could, but for the most part, if you're a commercial and you got a hedge on, you're not going to deliver. You're going to, buy back your shorts here and mm-hmm. just work in the cash market right now. It might very last day there might be some fireworks in, I guess, but it's going to be awful hard to play that game. But we're going to have to we're going to rob new crop to fill old crops. Demand like we always have and always will. So the urgency is how fast this crop gets to a point you can start drying it down from a super wet condition to meet some of this demand side. But no, we'll see what the stocks report says in the month. It's going to be tight. But two, who wants to chase it? There's going to be some downtime taken. And plus, two, you got to remember these guys are pretty sharp operators. They want to survive. They want to stay in business, and they do have some coverage on. How much coverage? That's the million-dollar question.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, Archer Daniels Midland Company says it is launching a tender offer to buy the rest of Australia's Grain Corp after other bidders failed to submit better offers. ADM last month offered $12.63 a share in cash for the remaining 80% of Grain Corp Limited that it does not already own. The agribusiness company based in Decatur, Illinois, said late Sunday that Grain Corp's board has agreed to recommend the latest offer to shareholders for approval in the absence of a superior offer. Grain Corp offers grain storing, collection, and transport. ADM's offer is scheduled to close on August 31st, unless extended, and is subject to conditions, including regulatory approval. The U.S. Tax Court has ruled that Conservation Reserve Program payments do not equate to cash rent, so even non-farm landowners who live out of state owe self-employment taxes on such income. The decision has shocked legal scholars and agricultural accountants who for most of the past three decades have advised farm investors that they were exempt from the 15.3% tax if they were not otherwise actively engaged in an agricultural business. By some estimates, a third of all landowners in the Great Plains and Midwest states are non-farm investors or retired farmers who no longer actively farm. U.S. Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack says that he is angry not just about the failure of the House to pass a farm bill, but about the lack of appreciation about the significance of the House action. Vilsack says that the real losers are farmers, ranchers, and small businesses in rural America. The House failed in a 234-195 vote to pass a farm bill last week. This marks the second time in less than a year that the House has been unable to pass a farm bill that's come out of committee with bipartisan support. Vilsack says, quote, "This is a historic failure. There is just no other way to describe it." Monsanto executives say someone may have intentionally spread unapproved genetically engineered wheat seeds in a field in Oregon. Rob Fraley, chief technology officer for the biotech company, says a number of GE plants found and the pattern they were found in did not appear to be from seed sown in rows or left behind by the combine following the 2012 harvest. Such uniform distribution would be expected if either the farmer's seed stock was contaminated with GE seeds or if GE contained pollen from an adjoining area blew onto the resulting crop and pollinated it. Oregon State University scientists believe about 1% of the volunteer plants in an area of the field contain the GE event, also known as CP4. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. It is clear that farmers throughout the Midwest are exercising the combo crop insurance policy prevent plan option. Todd Gleason reports some of the numbers behind the decision not to plant.
First, we'll deal with corn. It's really too late to attempt planting a corn crop, but it might be possible to switch those intended acres to soybeans. Not if you do the numbers. Here's how University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke sees it.
Taking the preventive planting payment has a higher expected return than planting soybeans. In fact, in a typical case, soybeans would have to yield over 50 bushels an acre for it to have the same return as taking the preventive planting payment on corn. So if planting hasn't occurred and that corn payment, preventive planting payment is there, I'd suggest taking that corn preventive planting payment.
This is the case despite the fact that the prevent plant payment is generally 60% of the crop insurance guarantee. By the way, it is that percentage which makes the decision to take prevent plant on soybean acres harder to make. Here's an example from Schnittke.
If you had a 45 bushel APH yield for soybeans, you could expect to have net returns from preventive planting of $243 an acre. If you have about $265 of cost in putting out the soybean crop, you would have to get over 38 bushels of soybeans per acre to make it the same as taking the soybean preventive plant.
It is possible to plant soybeans at this time and raise more than 38 bushels to the acre, but as time passes, so does the possibility.
If we get to the final week of June, it'll likely look like taking the soybean prevent plant will be have higher expected returns than planting soybeans.
Those wanting to run exact numbers for their fields on prevent plant can download a spreadsheet from the University of Illinois FarmDoc website, not FarmDoc Daily, but FarmDoc. Look for the planting decision model in the Fast Tools section. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
And this is Dave Dickey, and joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Tim Tressler of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Well, this is the week that folk like you are long waiting for, with the quarterly grains stock report due out on Friday. What are the anticipations over the Andersons?
Well, you know, obviously the spreads, the old crop and new crop have been inverted heavily, and here we're thinking in corn that old crop will continue to show a slight rise with tight stocks, while new crop will be continued to pressure downward with the favorable weather we've been receiving across the Midwest lately.
So in corn, the spread, the inverted spread confirmed by Friday's quarterly grain stock. What about on the soybean side?
Soybeans are still, you know, high in demand on the old crop as well. A little bit lower on November selling, but still think maybe the same for the soybeans as well. I mean, old crop's really tight. If anything, you could see a nice uptick there on the report date.
So looking for an uptick on there. Would you think on the acreage report that there would be much volatility, or do you think that report will be pretty much in line with the guesses, which has corn acreage going down by some 1 million acres or thereabouts?
Right. I think that we're obviously going to lose some acres. However, I think the way things look today, maybe your bushel average might take a little uptick that might offset that to maybe level that off. So no fireworks there, we don't believe.
So the inversion continuing going forward in old crop. Question is, does that action reflect more on the board, or will it reflect more in cash heading into the later summer?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not 100% sure what the processors are going to do. Does everyone stay around for that, or does the market drive some end users out? A little bit, Larry. I mean, obviously, you know, if you need it, you're going to have to pay for it. So somewhere I think there's maybe some higher numbers, but I don't know that cash necessarily is higher than it was at harvest time.
Let's turn our attention then to new crop, and let me ask you this. Up to now, about how much farmer selling have you seen, and compare that to your longer-term average?
I don't have specific numbers. However, last year we were light on the book at this time. We're very similar to that this year. And, you know, it's just, you know, long-term average, it's down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, last year it was the right thing to do. Is it going to be the right thing to do this year? You know, only time will tell if we get into another drought condition like last summer.
And let's go ahead and have your prices for today then, please.
Okay, today, July corn, we are $6.94 and a quarter. July beans, we are $16.22. And then July wheat, we are $6.64.
Thank you much, Tim.
Thank you.
That's Tim Tressler of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with the folks from Chesapeake Energy. It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plow died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at agricultural weather is meteorologist John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, John.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Corn market was down today. In the December, it was down 9¾ cents at 546.5. Reportedly, traders took a look at weather forecasts as part of their rationale for taking the market lower. Are they right?
I'm not going to comment on that, Dave. I will comment on the weather.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting.
And I guess, you know, a couple of different features here is that if there's concern about heat, and of course, as we go toward the middle of July, the key item is going to be pollination. And if there are prospects of any kind of extreme heat that would interfere with pollination this year, and at least as we look into the early portion of July, there's really no sign of any kind of significant heat building into the middle portion of the country, especially here in the Midwest. So through the first week of July, and we'll kind of also maintain that in the second week of July, we do not see any extreme heat moving into the Midwest that would begin to hamper the pollination process as the first of the corn across the Midwest begins to pollinate. Of course, that process will take place through the remainder of July and even on into the early August with the lateness as to what we've seen from a crop development standpoint here across the Midwest. So from that standpoint, we don't see any real heat risk coming up, at least for the first week or two of July.
And what will be your early indicators if there were to be a trend change, and it would set up for a high-pressure ridge?
Well, we do have a high-pressure ridge, and it's out in the western U.S.
Well, I guess moving east.
Well, by late this week and over the weekend, that ridge will be centered over the western U.S., and the key is going to be movement of that ridge of high pressure. Either it stays out in the western U.S. or it moves into the central U.S., and so we have a whole variety of indicators that we tend to look at here and all kinds of different items that influence jet stream patterns, not only across North America but also around the hemisphere, and we'll be monitoring all of those to see if we detect any kind of movement of that ridge of high pressure. But for the next couple of weeks, its home is the western U.S., and that is where the heat associated with that ridge is going to stay.
There are a couple of spots, I suppose, where they could use some rain in the Corn Belt.
There's also a couple of spots that you badly need some drier weather, too. But
that's true.
That is kind of normally the case kind of out there. But we are going to see, you know, more rain activity here this week. And in some of these pockets that have been a bit on the drier side, they have good chance of getting some rainfall here coming up. Some of these extremely wet areas, which the wettest area right now is at the intersection of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. Looks like those areas will continue to get pretty significant rainfall as we go through this week.
Thank you, John.
My pleasure, Dave.
John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.